And welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer, and my dearest co-host, Dori Shafrir, is out on maternity leave, cuddling with her baby. So with us today is our guest host. They're a podcast producer of this podcast. They are a Netflix show producer extraordinaire. You hear their name at the end of every episode of Forever 35, Sammy Junio.
Oh, hello.
Stepping in to the guest host spot here on Forever 35. And please, before we get started, do remember that Sammy and I are not experts, but we're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Oh, yeah. Serum it up.
I feel like your serum is that you don't use a serum. Am I right?
Yep. No serum.
We're going to dig into that.
Can't wait.
I did want to mention to the audience that you call me Kate Horse, which I don't know if we've ever told the Forever 35 audience why that's my nickname.
Oh, you have.
I have mentioned why I'm Kate Horse Spencer.
Yep.
Okay, great. Because my parents told me I could choose my own middle name and I chose Horse. And then they were like, no. And when I tell people that, some people adopt it as my name.
I love it so much.
I wrote Horse like I would sign. I have a still have a Fisher Price tape recorder that says Kate Horse Spencer on it. Why tell your kid that they can choose their own middle name?
Why not?
And then, but then let them choose it and then not approve of the choice and then make them get their grandmother's first name.
Oh, yeah.
They could have just given me Elizabeth to begin with.
That's fair.
You know, but I would like, I wonder what, if you could choose your own middle name as a kid and also now, what would you choose?
Oh, right? I don't know. That's right? Tough.
Huh. Like when I was a kid, I wanted my name in the 80s. I wanted to be like Tiffany, Shannon.
Sure.
Morgan. Like those are the names I coveted. Jordan.
I liked Max.
Max?
Yeah.
Sam Max Junio?
Yeah.
You could pull off Max.
Not anymore. I like my name a lot right now.
Your full name or just your Sammy Junio?
I've been doing a lot of Sam lately and that feels good.
I like Sam. I've been shortening Sammy to Sam without asking for approval. I hope that's okay.
Oh, that's totally fine.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I would correct you if it was
also
gross.
You have such a great last name that like a nice teeny short name up top just like sets up Junio as kind of like the feature performer.
Oh, thanks, Kate.
Am I crazy?
No, never.
Like we could just call you like beep Junio.
Oh,
I mean, Sam Junio is really nice. Thank also you. Sammy. Okay. Wow. Here we are. So Sammy, you're going to be stepping in guest hosting with us today and it's kind of a big time for you.
Oh boy.
It's a big career time for you. Were I an astrologer, I would like immediately run to your chart and see what's going on.
Oh, please.
But you are truly one of the hardest working people I know.
Thanks, Kate.
You do numerous... I haven't even read your bio. Let me read this. Hold on. Here we go. Sammy Junio is a co-executive producer on Netflix's upcoming show, Historical Roasts, which is out now at the time of this podcast airing. They are also the head of tech at Dynasty Typewriter, which is a very cool comedy performance theater here in Los Angeles, and a podcast audio engineer and producer. You may know Sammy from the credits of this year podcast because they produce Forever 35, as well as a billion other podcasts. And you can catch Sammy acting in the very funny, dare I say sexy, short film Squicks, which is on Hoo Ha Ha. And you can find Sammy on Twitter at Sammy_Junio or on Instagram at it_your_Sam, where you can enjoy my favorite, truly one of my favorite of all time Instagram stories series, which Sammy has titled, Is It? And it's actually, I like to call it, Is It That, Ladies? And this is in which Sammy comes up with reasons why women are not interested in dating them on Bumble. And it is an ongoing series that you've been doing on your Instagram stories. And it makes me laugh every time.
Thank you so much. I actually, yeah, it's, I don't even know. I mean, you said you rewatched the beginning of it recently and yeah, I just was feeling real silly about why I wasn't getting any matches on Bumble. And so I took it out on my Instagram stories and it escalated into, well, it has always been like things that clearly nobody would see or know about me from my Bumble bio.
Like your knuckle hair.
Yeah.
which I think is one of the first ones.
Yep.
Or like there was one where you would like put your water bottle in your shoe and that was what was holding your water bottle.
Oh yeah, that was when I came home late.
By late you mean drunk?
By late I mean drunk. Okay. Yes.
And you were holding your water in a shoe.
Yeah, that was like at 4 a.m.
Sammy, did you ever get any, what was dating? Are you, you're not still on Bumble. We'll get to like love life.
Yeah, I got stuff. Banned off.
No, you didn't.
I deleted it off my phone, but my profile still exists. Go find me, match me up.
But did you have any success online dating? Was that ever a positive experience?
Online dating, and I, like, I've been online dating for a while. I was definitely an early adopter. I was on OkCupid, and that one is my favorite because you could fill it out as detailed as you wanted to, and then there were all these quizzes and things you could do.
It's almost like you learn about yourself a little bit, like kind of like doing a quiz in a magazine.
Yeah, absolutely. It was kind of like, you know how like Instagram, you like curate all of the cool things about you?
Yes.
It's exactly what OkCupid was.
That's great.
But like in written form. And I did have success on OkCupid. And I'm not somebody who like dates a ton of people. But like I met one of my best friends off of OkCupid, shout out Nikki. But like we clearly met with the intention of like doing things. But yeah, it's crazy now because Tinder and Bumble and all that stuff, it's just like it has opened up like, because OkCupid and online dating in general used to just be like internet people who really couldn't go out or didn't want to go out and meet people the regular way. But now Tinder and Bumble and everything else has been like opened up to everybody. And so now that they're applying the regular dating rules to it. So it's really weird. And I did not figure it out at all.
Did you have any matches on Bumble?
I matched with a couple of people on Bumble and I talked to them for a little bit. But when it came down to meeting, I was just like, no.
Was your frustration, I realized I said we were going to talk about career and then I was like, tell me about online dating.
Oh, I love it.
But when you did make that, because we like joke about your Is It That Ladies videos because I love them so much. Lane also is a big fan here in the Forever 35 world. I'm sure Dory's also a fan.
Oh, I hope so.
But were you dealing with a feeling of rejection, and was that like just kind of a humorous way of coping, or are you able to maintain kind of a positive outlook when it feels like, why is nobody matching with me, like I'm a good catch, what's the deal?
It wasn't like true frustration, but it was just like, how is this not working? And that's why I came up with that like whole entire excuse that I just rambled through of like, oh well, it's different now and other people are on it.
Like, well, no, but that isn't actually an interesting observation, because it's kind of like when Facebook first came out and it was just like college students mm-hmm. at colleges, and then all of a sudden like everybody's parents were on it.
Yeah.
And like it does shift the experience of an app, like as the users broaden, it does change what it's like.
Yeah, it does. It has changed. But yeah, I wasn't like super seriously looking for someone that I wanted to like date because I'm not fresh out of the relationship now, but it was just like, I don't want to date right now. I don't have the time. But this is like it was kind of a decision that I made to be like, okay, but I should go out and start meeting people with like that sort of intention of just like getting to know them on like a let's be romantic type like scenario.
That sounds hard to put yourself out there in that way.
It was, because I was in like a blurry phase where I was processing all of the lessons that I should have learned or did learn from my relationship that ended last year, and trying to sort through that and be like, and acknowledging my cycles and like my behavior. And then I was deciding to be like, okay, we've addressed these things. Can I, one, meet people in real life without being like, oh, we're in a relationship and we're doing this whole entire thing? Or can I meet people and just be like, set those boundaries and stuff? Because I am really real bad at boundaries.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You mean like you meet someone and then immediately, like 2 days later, you're like moving in and married, that kind of vibe?
Yeah, basically. So I made a couple friends and kept them just friends. And it was just like, wow, you could do that, yeah. bud. Yeah.
Good work. Sam did it. It is hard. How did you... I think it's really interesting you said that after your last relationship ended, you spent time processing what you did in it. Like, how do you learn the lessons of a, I don't want to say a failed relationship, but an ended relationship? Like, how do you sit and process it and get stuff out of it and learn more about yourself and like the good and the bad that went into it?
I mean, you just have to like recognize that the relationship ended because of two people. Like, you can be mad at that person, but you also have to recognize that, like, you had a part in it too. And you really do have to, like, dig deep and be like, okay, what'd you do, bud? Like, who are you? Like, look at all of your other relationships. Like, this is a repeated thing that you're doing. Like, you have to, like, just really dig in and be like, okay, I see this now, and it's no good, and it's not fair to the people that you're in a relationship with and yourself.
That's hard work.
Yeah, it is. And I really didn't learn from my relationships until the one before the one that just recently ended.
So the last two, kind of in your late 20s.
Yeah.
Do you think it was just age that's helped you do a better job of assessing your behavior in relation, like your patterns of behavior in relationships?
I think so. I haven't really like applied it in that way, but like, okay, you're getting older. It was kind of just like, you were really traumatized by this. Yeah. Let's learn some stuff.
That's a good way to handle trauma.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Do you feel like now that you are dating someone that you...
Spoiler.
Okay, spoiler alert. Sammy is dating a person.
Yeah.
Yes, who seems really cool.
Oh, she's great.
Do you feel like you're applying the experiences of your, like the learning experience that you just went through to this new, like the newbie relationship?
Oh, absolutely. And we talked a lot and, oh yeah, you're going to get a kick out of this. So I met this person and there was an immediate like draw to her. And, but I was still like teetering off of another thing, LOL. And so there was this hesitation and I was just like, okay, hold on a second. Cause you hesitated with all of the other people that you were dating. Is this the same sort of hesitation? Like, and so I was just like, oh, I don't know. I got to figure this out. I got to take this slow. So, but I wanted to be around her a lot. So we like hung out a lot and, so she was getting to, like, I did this stupid thing where, like, I put us in romantic situations. Like, we went out once, and it was raining at night, and the streetlights were on, and I, like, ran out into the middle of the road and, like, was just dancing and shouting in the rain, and then, like, we got into the car, and I wouldn't look at her. Because I knew it would be like, we're going to kiss right now, bro. But, and that actually, that behavior of not looking at her, but like accidentally finding ourselves in these romantic situations for 8 days.
What were other ones?
Like, well, it would just be like, we would just like have these like really long conversations and like spend like literally days together.
And you're at the beach, like just looking at the sea.
Yeah. Like having like a nice lunch and then she would come up and like be really close to my face and I'd be like, oh, what's in my lap?
But it sounds like you were, maybe it felt clunky, but you were trying to set boundaries.
Yeah.
In a place that you hadn't set them before.
Yeah.
Freaking boundaries, man. It's like,
they're so hard.
They're so hard. And you have to like actually learn how, like, is anyone born into the world knowing how to have healthy boundaries with people?
Yeah, she does.
Okay. Maybe we need to interview her.
Yeah, well, you should. She's great. She's an Aquarius. And I think that those types of people, because I read a lot about her zodiacs when I wasn't looking at her.
You're like, I'll look at my phone and see if we match.
Right. And Aquarians are like very like, just stop you right there. Like very, very boundary setting and stuff.
So what was the like plunge that then made you feel comfortable knowing that you did want to make it a romantic relationship?
we went out after, or I met up with her after a show, and I was just like, no, this is it. Let's do it. And it was nice.
Were you dancing in the rain?
I was not dancing in the rain. We were outside of the Black Cat in Silver Lake.
Okay.
And we kissed under the stars.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
So romantic. Always. See, it was still a romantic moment.
Yeah.
I do love you putting yourself in rom-com moments, so that really makes me chuckle.
I don't know how else to do it.
Like, everything has to be...
But it just, like, naturally happens that way. Like, it was just raining, and I was just like, okay, I'm going to scurry out into the rain, because I love the rain. Like, I drove her home to Pasadena, and I, like, pulled over the car, because the moon was really nice, and
Sammy.
I was like, this is bad. Yeah, I was, like, laughing at myself when I got home after that. That was actually the water bottle and shoe night.
Wait a second. You drove home sober?
Yes.
Okay. Then you got drunk and put a water bottle in a shoe?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just like a... That's just how I am. And I'm a person of intensity. And that's why, like, boundaries are so hard. Because I'm just either, if I like something, I'm there.
Are you like that with friends, too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate it.
Good.
You show up to this podcast with intensity.
Always.
It's hard being an intense person, though.
It is. Like, it really is.
It's a lot of feelings and a lot of emotion. And do you find that draining, that side of yourself?
Well, yes and no. At this point, I'm just like, let's go with it. But I've also, like, managed myself. So the intensity doesn't really come out. So my intensity now doesn't come out, like, a lot. But I was talking about, and this is, we'll talk about this later, the gym thing. But I was talking about how I went to the gym, like, every day for a month straight. And my friend was just like, oh, it's, like, hot or cold with you. Just like, yeah, exactly. But it's not like that with people anymore. And also, like, I grew up, like, super suppressed. Like, I suppressed all of my feelings. And then they started, like, leaking out at 18. And I'm just like, okay, this is a cool way to do. And then I was just like, wait, we have to dial it back just a little bit. Because you're, like, getting drunk and punching walls and yelling at stuff. So let's not do that.
So you were suppressing just emotion in general?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it started coming out at 18.
Or, yeah, just like puberty.
Yeah, just that, like, the hormonal unleashing of our bodies.
Yeah.
Wow, that must have been hard.
It was a lot, yeah. It's a lot to just have a tiny little body and just feel all the things.
It's so hard. I mean, that's why you have lots of Tegan and Sarah tattoos.
I have one Tegan and Sarah tattoo, right?
But you have a very big Tegan and Sarah tattoo across your both forearms.
Yeah.
So it's one Tegan and Sarah tattoo that you got at how old?
18.
Yeah. See, that's like when you're, see?
Yeah.
Oh boy, I'm really digging deep here.
Oh, please dig deeper.
All right, let's take a pause.
Okay.
Then I do want to come back and talk about the fact that you are producing a Netflix show, because that's bonkers.
Okay, brag.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of, like, get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
You know, Dory, we talk to a lot of really fantastic, intelligent people on this podcast, but I don't know, maybe you're like us and you want to go even deeper.
I'd love to go deeper.
We like to go deep. And that's not only possible with today's sponsor, but also easy to accomplish on Masterclass. Every year I get really into the classes offered and the instructors offering them. Like, I'm all over the place with the things that I like on Masterclass, but this year I am very interested in the class Redefining Feminism, which is 14 lessons from Gloria Steinem.
Okay.
Now, they dissect issues women face in the U.S. and ways we can play a role in the feminist movement in our everyday lives. Look, I majored in women and gender studies in college, so this is right up my alley. But even if you didn't, even if you're like, this is the first time I'm hearing those words.
I would argue, especially if you didn't.
Yes. Get into it with Masterclass, because this is the year you can really learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Go from just talking about improving to actually doing the things you've been wanting to do with Masterclass. And it doesn't have to be Redefining Feminism with Gloria Steinem. It can be gardening in your own garden or your yard or patio. It can be learning to cook Indian food or designing a space that you love. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors. So whether you want to master like negotiation with Chris Voss, or think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or maybe capture your vision through photography with Petra Collins, Masterclass has you covered. With Masterclass, you get unlimited access to intimate one-on-one classes with the world's best. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35. So, Sammy.
Kate Horse.
While we were on a pause to do those ads, I told you I felt like a proud mother that you have executive produced a television show on the Netflix.
I have.
Application? Netflix isn't a channel, is it? What is it?
It's an application, yeah.
It's an application. I don't know.
Well, it's a website too.
Who knows? 2019 is crazy.
You know what someone brought up that I didn't think about yet? Netflix. Internet Flix.
Sammy, you didn't think about that yet?
I don't think, Kate.
But also, how old are you when because I remember when Netflix first came out and it was like ordering discs in the mail.
Right.
And that felt revolutionary. And then you just put it in a little envelope back in the mailbox.
Sure.
And you must have been a teen when that was going on.
Oh, probably. I'm trying to remember.
An adult. I was like 24. That was almost, 15 years ago, probably.
Oh, then I was 15.
Christ.
Oh my.
Young 30-year-old now, but
fresh.
But yeah, so I mean, that probably didn't even like seem crazy to you.
No, it was, cuz I think my brother got the family into it, and so we were doing that and like, well, we'll get this and we'll get this and we don't have to return it. Oh, cuz we were like, we would always go to Hollywood Video and Blockbuster Video.
Uh-huh.
And it was so fun, and like one of our friends that my brother and I both had a crush on worked at the Hollywood Video, so we'd be there all the time renting videos. So like the whole rental thing, like when those started dying down, like we still wanted to do it. So yeah, Netflix was a thing.
Did either of you get that friend who you both had a crush on?
No.
Wow, a double family rejection.
Yeah. There's a deeper story.
Okay, yeah. That seems like an off the air story.
Probably.
What's the age difference between you and your brother?
4 years.
Okay, that makes sense.
I guess so.
That's intense. But to backtrack, you are a co-executive producer on a TV show called Historical Roasts.
Yes.
Which, can you describe to our audience who's maybe have never heard of it? What is it about?
So Historical Roast is set up like a traditional Comedy Central roast, where there is a guest of honor and people come and roast that guest of honor and roast them each other. With Historical Roast, Jeff Ross, Roastmaster General, hosts the show. And we have one person from history who he's put it as honoring. So we had some controversial guest hosts, but we spun it a little bit. So it's just like, we're still honoring the person because at the end of the day, the Comedy Central roast and stuff, they're still there to honor the person.
Yeah.
So the show set up where there's a guest of honor and three people on the dais. Then we have a surprise, like an extra little bit part built into.
But these are all characters, right?
These are all historical figures, yes.
And the people who are doing the roasting of the historical figure are also historical figures?
Yes.
That is really funny.
It's so silly and wonderful.
Who is an example of one of the people that gets roasted on that show?
Cleopatra.
Oh, snap. That's really great. Okay, cannot wait.
It's so good.
How has it been juggling? I guess what I'm curious about is you do so much and your job requires you to be in like 50 different places. For example, you're here with us today recording, you're producing and guest hosting. So you're doing double duty. You're going to go to another recording. You work nights. You are in this kind of job where you have like 50 jobs slash you have a TV show that's now getting made. How do you kind of manage the wear, like the physical and emotional wear and tear of that kind of work?
The thing about me is that I get off on the stress, and like when it's like high stress time, that's when I'm like thriving because my brain is so it needs so much stuff happening. Otherwise I don't feel like my brain's working. And so like those moments and just the stress of work, like really gets my goose. Like when it's like a high pressure situation, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Cause that's when you're just like, you are working to your fullest potential and stuff. So like otherwise when it's like mid-level stuff, I'm just like, I need to figure out how to improve this. I need to streamline it or be more efficient or do something where it's just like works better.
So you don't enjoy like when things are quiet?
Wow.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. But I do need quiet. And I'll like, I just turn my brain off, like, and put something on Netflix and just like listen to that and then like space out on my phone.
How do you see that about yourself? Have you always been that way? Like have being really invested in high pressures or needing that pressure in order to like feel at your highest potential, like were you like that in school?
No.
Not everybody is.
No,
I mean school was not also the spot for me.
Yeah, well I test really well because it's just regurgitating information. Mm-hmm. But projects and stuff, I was just like, no, I'm not doing it.
That's interesting. And testing's a more high pressure situation.
Exactly.
So then do you never feel like stress for you is not actually stressful?
Well, stupid things stress me out. Like if there's like a long term project and I have a deadline and it's not due in like 5 minutes, then I'm just like, oh no, I have to like manage myself. I think the things that stress me out is when I have like, one, being on time stresses me out, or being late stresses me out. But when I have to manage myself,
yeah,
that stresses me out to the point where I'll stress myself out the 4 days leading up to the fifth day deadline. And then the fifth day I can rush everything and I'll be fine.
I do think like, no, you bring up an interesting point though, because I feel like we talk a lot and maybe in this podcast, but just in general, that like the best practice is like spreading things out and managing your time and like doing like chipping away at stuff, but that is does not work for everybody.
It does not.
Yeah, like, and I was a big like in school I saved everything for the last minute, and that helped. I mean, that's how I would get stuff done. Is yeah. Almost that pressure of being under an extreme deadline made me do the work.
Right.
Like I could have 6 weeks to do something and I would be doing it in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. And it also like gives you less time to second guess yourself. Cause I'm also a perfectionist. So if I just rush it and like go on all cylinders and turn it in, I don't have to read it over and be like, okay, well I edited this and don't take that out. So it's easier for me to just one and done and get it out.
as a perfectionist, how do you handle it then when you do make a mistake or when something doesn't go right? Or if you, like, have you ever missed a deadline? Have you ever been in this, like, rushing state and not gotten everything done?
It's rare, but it has happened. I think that more frequently, especially because I'm the head of tech at a comedy or performance venue. So sometimes I'll miss a cue or something messes up. And yeah, no, I get really down and hard on myself. I'm like, ah, fuck, like, shit, like, why did that not work? And that sucks. And like, so that's just like, it's not the healthiest way to do things. But
do you think you could, but you couldn't do it any other way? Like, I know, it doesn't sound like you're built to be like a slow and steady wins the race kind of person.
No, I'm really not. So it's just like, it's that thing that goes back to being super intense. It's just like, when there is like a moment of intensity, like, I need to let it out. Because if it festers, then it becomes much worse. It's like a real slow burn. Like, it hurts me way worse than just like having like 10 minutes of just like setting things on fire.
We'd explain this a little bit deeper.
So like if I like miss a cue at a show, and after the show or even right after I miss it, I'll let myself be like, gosh, shit, and just like have that adult tantrum.
Adult tantrums should be more of a thing.
They really should, because if I hold on to that frustration at myself and like let it seep through and then keep on thinking about it, it's so much worse, because then all I'm thinking about the next show is, oh, I messed that thing up, I'm going to do it again. Oh no. Like, I didn't like let it. I didn't let the little demon out.
I'm genuinely impressed though, that you can, that it sound, what's so interesting to me about the way you're describing yourself is that you have like this intense energetic energy, but that's also how you release your perfect, like, you don't dwell, like, you're able to just like get it out in a burst and then move on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever dwell? Because dwelling, I like exist in the dwell.
Oh, I dwell and it sucks. It hurts. And that's why I can't do it. I refuse to let myself dwell on certain things, because if I didn't, then I would just be dragging my feet through mud all the time.
Your adult tantrums. Let's describe an adult tantrum. You did mention earlier that you punched a wall, which doesn't seem like a healthy way of having an adult tantrum.
No.
But you don't still have that impulse?
No.
Oh.
There's one person that like drags, like brings all of that like bad behavior out of me.
Can you describe, like, if you're having one of your quote unquote adult tantrums, is it just like you go and have a moment of like, yeah, and then you are able to move past?
Yeah. It's just like I pace a lot and I like shake my head. I'm like, ah, dang it. And I say like very mean things, like just mean words about, or just mean words directed towards myself. Like, ah, idiot. Like, I'm just like, oh, really just like let it out and then it's fine.
I mean, not a bad way of coping.
It's not the healthiest, especially if people see you do it and they're like, ooh.
But I mean, you're at least getting it out.
Yeah.
You're not letting it, you're not doing the other thing, which is suppressing.
Yeah.
Which is something you said you did, you used to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so how are you managing the stress of the expectation of having something like a TV show go on the air? Like, has that been a challenge?
Not necessarily. It's interesting because this show specifically, it was a great title to have, but as far as like working on it, we were very separate from it, and like we were given the opportunity to be in the writer's room and hobnob a lot, but as far as this, like, so it started as a live show 5 years ago,
and you were involved in the live show front of things.
Yes. Got we're it. All we're still doing it, and so just like getting your hands dirty, like emails, scheduling, blah blah blah, all of that was on us. And so this TV show being super separated from it, I feel like I haven't done a damn thing, and technically I haven't, aside from create the show.
Does that feel weird?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like you do, you, especially someone who's so hands-on and everything and a perfectionist, do you feel the urge to be like in the kitchen more?
Yeah, I really do. And it was funny because I was talking to Eddie and Ryan, the other co producers and creators of the show. And I was just like, yeah, like if we get a season two, like I would really love to have like a working position on the show. And he was just like, Eddie was like, dude, we have the best titles of the show. Like, what can you do that would be better than what we're doing? And it's just like, oh yeah. But also like I feel left out of, yeah, of the work and that sweat, because it's that same thing of like, I strive in those types of situations where we're on the ground and like adjusting a thing for like 30 minutes and everyone's just like, ah, where is it? We need to get it done right. It needs to be perfect. And just like sitting back and just like watching people do that makes me feel a little silly.
You are, I wouldn't say, I don't want to describe you as a workaholic, but you're like a get things done kind of person, right? Yeah. Like you really like to get the stuff taken care of.
Yes.
And you do well under pressure.
Yes.
Would you describe yourself as a workaholic?
Yep.
Oh.
Well, I don't know if it's a workaholic thing or is it, or if it's just like, I can't say no and I don't know how else to spend my time.
I want to backtrack to what you just said about not being able to say no.
Boundaries.
Oh yes, it all comes back to freaking boundaries. Mm-hmm. But also it's interesting that you say you don't know what to do with your time.
I don't. If I don't have anything scheduled, I'm just in my bed watching Friends or Gilmore Girls over and over again.
Do you read books?
I can't read, Kate.
Sammy, you can.
I can. I actually tried really hard to give myself at least, and this is laughable, 30 minutes to read every day.
That's not laughable. That's great.
I also only did it once.
That's fine. You define what works for you.
True. True. Work works for me.
That's so interesting. I was going to say, like, with the connotation of workaholic, one, I don't like how it's like appropriating addiction and applying it to work, because sure, I don't, addiction is an illness. But two, like, it often applies that it is not healthy to be super into our work.
Right. But that's,
do you think it's not healthy to be super into your work? I don't know.
Oh, I don't think that at all. I think it's like super healthy. Cause like when you're in school, you get what you're proud of is like your good grades or whatever. And when you're working, you're proud of working. And if you don't have, I don't know, if you don't have anything you're working on, then I don't know. This is all getting into maybe some childhood things and like how I was raised.
Yeah. How were you raised?
My parents both worked a lot. There was like, when I was super young, like single digits, my dad was working two jobs. He had his job that he kind of has now, and he was a Chinese food delivery person. And my mom had a job that had really odd hours. So when we woke up for school, she was sleeping. And then when we were home, she was at work. So it was always work. And that's, yeah.
And you're the youngest of your siblings.
Youngest of five, yeah.
Were they your main caregivers while your parents were working?
No, it wasn't like I didn't see my parents, because they tried to make it a point to like be around us a lot. But our main caregivers were kind of ourselves. Like, so I grew up with my brother, and he's 4 years older than me. But it was kind of just like, take care of yourself, figure it all out.
So you're super self-sufficient, and you saw how hard your parents were working.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Did they ever tell you to slow down now as they're older, or are they like...
My mom gets concerned.
Really?
That I'm working a lot. She's just like, yeah, there are times where she gets like really emotional on the phone. She's just like, well, you work so much and I just want to make sure that you have friends and stuff. Aww. And like you go out and do stuff. And so like she gets really stoked when I'm like, I'm on my way to see my buds.
But you do work a lot. That's really...
I do.
That's interesting to parse, Sammy.
Hmm.
All right, let's take a pause.
Okay.
We'll come back and then we will talk about a hobby that you did develop this year.
Okay.
Called getting jacked.
Getting jocked.
Getting jocked and jacked with Sammy Junio. Okay, so Sammy.
Kate, horse.
Maybe that'll become my thing. Turning 40. Oh. Adopting the Kate Horse name and
turning
brand.
Turning horsey.
Let's talk about your gym journey.
Oh boy.
Because all of a sudden this year, your Instagram was filled with pics of you working out. You were coming to recordings fresh from the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You are very invested.
Yes.
In your exercise journey.
Oh.
Are you, I want to know what made you tap into that?
Okay.
Start there.
Okay. I got a gym membership.
Good for you.
And then that was it. Well, no, that wasn't it.
But what were you like, I need a gym membership?
Well, I just got tired of not feeling great about my body. And I've done a lot of reflection on like, okay, but where is that coming from? Blah, blah, blah. Like whose outside standards are you like falling victim to?
And what was did you find a conclusion on that? Like, what do you think was spurring that?
I think it's just like, I grew up with superhero stuff a lot. And so it's just like, oh, I don't look like a superhero. That sucks. And I've got like little love handles and stuff. I was just like, I don't really love that. And stuff like that. But it's just like, I don't know. It's just all the stuff that we all deal with. It's just like, my body just doesn't look like I want it to.
Were you, aside from appearance stuff, mm-hmm. was there a way you were feeling in terms of like how you moved or like just that?
Yeah.
Kind of more noticing.
Yeah. And that's like a bigger part of was like not looking as much or looking the way I wanted to. It was just like, I was sluggish and like got out of breath. And I was just like, this is no good. Like you're 30, you're not dying. Like you don't need to like drag up a hill and like hate going on hikes and stuff just because of all that stuff. And I was using my knee injury as an excuse for inactivity. And I'm just like, that's not it though. You're just being lazy.
And so you got a gym membership.
I got a gym membership, and that was slow goings until my friend Nikki,
shout out Nikki, who you met on OkCupid.
Mm-hmm, Nikki Flores. Oop. She has an Apple Watch and I have an Apple Watch, and we started monitoring each other's activities and stuff because you can log all of that and start sharing your data.
Oh, interesting.
And then there was a thing where you could go into a competition with your friends, and they're just like, there's a point system based on calories and your activity and like the stand hours and
steps.
Exercise minutes and stuff. And so we just like went ham. And so the competition lasts seven days. And then we just kept on like challenging each other at the end of every week.
Did you ever win?
I won like once, but my schedule started getting in the way, which was a bummer.
And what did you notice about like the routine of going to the gym? What did you like? What did it give you? What did you like about it?
Oh, it felt really good. And just like, I got really like excited for the day, and I like slept better at night. Mm. I don't have trouble sleeping, but just like noticing that I slept better.
Yeah.
It was great. Like I fell asleep without watching like 3 episodes of Friends. And so that felt good. And I was just like moving through the world better and more like, cause your muscles are in better shape. So you're just like, oh, okay. Like I'm sitting up straight now. Yeah. This is great. It feels good to just stand up straight and like see my body, like watching. Oh, this is so lame, but like watching your body like lifting weights and stuff is just like so intriguing, because you're seeing your body work, because you don't really see it working. And even when you're walking and stuff, your body's moving, and it's just like, it's really interesting and exciting.
I don't think that's lame. I think that's really cool. Like seeing what our bodies are capable of is really powerful.
Yeah, that's true. I'll squeeze my own bum like when I'm walking, just to like feel with leg muscles.
Like, wow.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Have you been going consistently?
I haven't. I stopped in April. My work schedule was just like up early, work late. And I tried to go to the gym kind of in the afternoon-ish, but I was working through the afternoon. So just like, okay, I didn't. So I didn't go for the entire month of April. Well, I went once in April, and then I re-hurt my leg, my knee, on Easter. And so I've just kind of been like, I can't go to the gym. Like I bought a workout bench. So I do a little
Wait
bit
a second.
Of that.
Hold on, pause. Mm. Hold on. So many questions here. You're just blasting through things. Number one, intense Easter egg hunt.
I had a very wholesome Easter with my friends. and it's truly wholesome. So we went to a street fair in the daytime, and then we're just like, oh, we got to come back at nighttime. So we had lunch, then we played football in the park.
Oh, fun.
And then we went back to the street fair, and then we went to my house to play beer pong. And then I got swept up in The Other Side, a song from The Greatest Showman soundtrack.
Wait a second. Sammy.
Yeah.
You go on with it. You hurt your knee dancing.
Because I jumped off a couch because there's a swell in the song, and I jumped off the couch and I landed poorly and I hurt my leg.
You jumped off the couch, mm-hmm, performing along to
The Greatest Showman.
The Greatest Showman.
Uh-huh.
And I know the song. I know that. Did you jump off at the part where it goes, "This is the greatest show"?
No, from the other side where it's Zach and
to
and
the other side. Da, 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 yeah. Da, da, da. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God, Sammy. I've seen that movie 70 million times because it my gets children ya. Love it. It's actually a very fun movie.
It gets you.
Yeah. And the music is very catchy.
Yeah, it is. Totally.
That is a Greatest Showman injury. That's the first we've ever had on this podcast.
Surprise. But yeah, so I re-hurt my leg, and so it's in a brace, and it's been in a brace since.
So you bought a workout bench for your home?
I did. That's, and that was commitment. Before the injury. Well, yeah, because it was like, well, I don't have time to go to the gym and lift weights, so I'm just going to do it at home.
And have you been consistent with it?
No, not really. Once I fall off of something, it's really hard to get back on. But I'm really going to try harder.
Do you really think you are? Can you be at peace with letting it go?
I don't think I'll be at peace with letting it go, but I'll try harder.
Okay. All right. I mean, I encourage it.
Thank you.
Do whatever you have time for and whatever feels good for you.
True that.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
What kind of bench? Is it just like a weightlifting bench?
Yeah, it's a weightlifting bench, and it reclines, so it's adjustable.
That's cool. Did you also buy a set of weights?
We had weights already.
You have like your own little gym. Did you cancel your gym membership?
No, I still have it because I still want to go. So what I did at the gym in the beginning, I did the treadmill and then weightlifting. But then I found the Stairmaster.
Oh, fun.
And so I set a goal of being able to do 60 minutes at the Stairmaster.
Oh, Sammy.
And then weightlifting. But I never got to that point. So I was doing about 45 minutes on the stairs.
Oh, God.
Oh, so fun.
You like a Stairmaster?
Oh, I so do. It's so fun. You get so sweaty.
Holy crap. That is a Stairmaster. Like, one, what an iconic piece of, like, late 90s workout tools. Slash, it's really hard.
Oh, yeah. It gets you, like, and it's just so fun. Just like that, like, straining and, like, the only thing that you're working against is your own body. Love it.
Have you ever... It's interesting that you're drawn to the Stairmaster because we live in Los Angeles where, one, the weather's perfect 99% of the time, and two, there are a lot of stairs that people, like, because it's a weirdly hilly city, people do, like, there's these really long, I don't know what you call them, just staircases outside everywhere. Have you ever, like, done those or run those?
I haven't, but I'm interested in them. But I know that I need a machine to keep me steady and to push me forward, like speed wise, because otherwise I'm just going to take a leisurely walk up the stairs and just, like, because I'm stubborn and lazy, but I also love moving my body. It's a very silly grapple that I have to do.
I don't think you're lazy. I do. I can see stubborn.
I just, like, give up easy.
You might stop to pet a dog.
Oh, sure.
You would pet every dog on those stairs.
I would kiss them all.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think that's smart. You have to do what works best for your body. I just think it's interesting, a Stairmaster versus the plenty of the outdoor stairs we have here.
Yeah, that's fair. I've always been, like, a machine over nature, workout-wise.
Machine over nature. I like machine over nature. Mm. We don't get that a lot. We need more machine over nature people.
I don't think we do.
No? Okay, you can be the only one. Sammy, boy, this has been a real treat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we didn't even talk about you being in Squix, a sexy movie.
Oh, yeah.
You're in this whole, like, fetish-based movie.
I am.
That is really funny. And then just, like, it kind of is what it's really exploring is, like, when you reach that lull in a relationship where you're like, let's try to spice it up. And then it just gets awkward. And then you just watch Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's kind of, that's what I took away from it.
Like, Maggie Mayfish, her intentions were just, like, you can do all this like really crazy nonsense stuff, but like if you really care about your partner and stuff, it's, you're not going to go anywhere, and it's gonna, it's so safe and nice and loving.
I liked watching you act. Had you ever acted in anything before?
Not anything long than like that.
It was long, and you were like performing fetish raps with ropes and stuff.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really fun. And I think that, yeah, acting is one of those things where I know I'm good at it, but I just didn't, I've never applied myself to be in a position where that was a thing that I did a lot. But Maggie like put out a tweet asking for like non-binary actors for a short, and I was just like, what about aspiring actors?
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh yes, deal.
Do you know Maggie May?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, so we worked on a couple of things together before, and when we ran through a rehearsal, she was just like, we were talking about it, and I was just, and she was like, yeah, like when I set out for writing this project that is based on her true life relationship with her partner who's non-binary, she was just like, I thought of you immediately.
Aww.
And I was just like, why don't you just ask immediately then? Why ask Twitter?
But what's cool is that you had the like confidence and the wherewithal to be like, what about me?
Yeah. And that like wild hair comes in me every now and again. I'm just like, don't ever ignore it.
That's you. Wait, you never do ignore it, or you're saying to yourself, don't ever ignore it?
I say myself, don't ever ignore
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that like burst of like faith and confidence in yourself is so like rarely, I don't know, I feel like that doesn't pop up. I mean, does it pop up a lot for you?
No, not really, not like that, where it feels like I'm like stepping out of my bounds. So one other instance that I can think about where I'm just like, okay, sure, was when I met my friend Chloe, who's one of my best friends now. And another time was when my friend Mo Welch asked me to produce her podcast without any sort of previous knowledge or whatever. It's like, yeah, okay, I'll do it.
You told this on the when you were on our show many months ago that mm-hmm. that Mo was just like, can you make a podcast? And you're like, yep. And then you just did it.
Yeah,
you got all the stuff and you just did it.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like that thing of those moments I don't get in the way of myself, and those have been those lead to like such great things, but also I'm constantly getting in the way of myself. So it's like, what the heck, dude? Like, apply it everywhere, but I don't know.
Well, this leads us to an interesting question, Sammy.
Mm.
You know, because you've heard 8 million of this episodes of this podcast, that we end every episode with an intention. Mm-hmm. Do you have an intention that you're going to leave us with for the next week?
A week intention. I would say
or it could be longer term if you're feeling that.
I gotta get myself to the gym, and I gotta get reading more.
Do you have a book that you want to crack open?
I have Letters from Earth.
I've never heard of this book.
It's like, it's Mark Twain, and it was like banned for a little bit, but like one of the angels or whatever goes down and lives on Earth and like observes everything and then writes back to like God. It's pretty funny.
That's really intense.
It's funny. It's Twain.
It's Twain. You're so deep. I like that your book, my book choice would be like a magazine. I mean, if I were just trying to get back to it, I would go gentle, but you're going full Twain.
You gotta
go full Twain.
Intense. Okay. Hot or cold, man.
Yeah, that's true. You're hot or cold. Man, that's so cool. I that is the opposite of how I feel. I'm so like, so tepid and like, like just dipping every little toe in.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, I got to jump in. And if I drown, then I drown.
Okay. Well, you're not drowning yet. I would say you're swimming with the tide.
I hope so.
Well, my intention this week is to freaking stay flexy. I'm abbreviating flexible.
Okay. Got it. I was just like, are you just like flexing constantly?
Kate? Just bending over and stretching. No, one of my kids has been sick for a week, and it's been like a variety of sicknesses. I'm like, we're very fortunate that one, we have healthcare, and two, it just seems to be like some sort of virally stuff. But it does throw a wrench in like everything I had planned, like work and meetings and appointments and get it, you know, and that feeling of like, oh, it's not going. I need to be doing it this way, and I can't because all these things are changing, you know, just that feeling. Sure. Where your plans. So I'm staying chill. Life doesn't go as planned. I feel like that's been said a million times before, but I just need, I'm just trying to roll with it because, you know, there's nothing you can do to change the tides of a child's sickness or just life, right? You just have to roll with it.
True.
So I'm trying to just like stay flexible. There's always a solution. Everything always can work out. And when not, when it can't work out, people are very kind. So that's where I'm at.
Hell yeah.
Well, Sam, this has been a freaking treat.
What a delight.
Congratulations on all your successes.
Thank you.
Your number one being this pod, we're producing this podcast.
Oh, truly.
Truly, this is
this
your,
is my credit.
This is it. This is it. The pinnacle.
I'm not lying.
Nope. Sammy. You have that. You have a TV show.
Yeah.
Okay. I do. You do. That's so cool. All right. Thank you. Sammy, I'm going to bid farewell to our listeners. Listeners, thank you so much for joining me and Sammy today. We have a voicemail if you ever want to wringle dingle us, call us 781-591-0390. You can always email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We have a very active Facebook community. It's facebook.com/groups/forever35podcast. We have a lot of spinoffs. And there's one about books, Sammy, if you want to get into that book spinoff group.
I'm busy.
Okay, fine. If you like the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend. And if you really like us, you know, shout us out on the old social media. And a friendly reminder that all products mentioned on our show are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod. And most importantly, Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dori Shafrir and me, Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by
Sammy Junio.
Yay! And Lane Hammer is our assistant, and Lucy is my dog. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
Goodbye. Okay,